Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 14 through 22, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, God, because you love the church. You laid your life down for us, oh God. And Lord, we know that you are coming back soon to redeem us from this body that's still corrupt. And God, you have a brand new one awaiting for us, one like yours that'll live forever, God. And so, Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would now give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Come After Me. Come After Me. And as we continue to read the book of Mark, we're going to find in these verses of Scripture where Jesus starts to make his selection. And he knows exactly who to go to and to say, come and follow me. Did you know, saints, that the day that you came to Christ, he personally came to you and said, come and follow me? How many believe that? Oh, yes. Come on. When I got saved, I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. He was looking for you. And he supernaturally came. And he intervened into your life. He stopped you in your track. And he gave you a mind to be saved. He gave you a heart to repent. He's the one that quickened you that you would turn to him by faith. And he has saved us. And now we're washed in the blood. And now we're born again believers, living our life for God. And God is doing a mighty work in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so let's look at verses 14 through 22. And so let's read. Verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. How many believe that that hasn't changed? 2,000 years later, the Spirit of God is still convicting men and women to what? Repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And one of the things that I truly believe in, what God has shown me through the Scripture, why did he choose fishermen? Because fishermen, when they sail out, it takes some faith to believe that there's fish there. And when they cast their nets out, they're believing that there's going to be a catch. Can I get an amen? And some of them toil all night. But he saw in them that these men already have a natural faith, but they haven't yet established the supernatural faith. But God said, follow me. And so he went to the fishermen. And you know fishermen. Have you ever went fishing before? Man, you better wear some rubber gloves, or that stench will be on you for a while. I don't care how much. You could take SOS pads and try to scrub it off. That stench, it just gets right into your skin. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus said, come after me, and I will make you become what? Fishers of men. You see the symbolic, the symbolism of catching fish. And because they had faith to believe that there were fish where they were going to launch out to, God has placed in them, and he has placed in you and me, believing that when we share the gospel, that a spiritual net is going to be cast out, and they're going to come into the saving knowledge. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 18. And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. Man, what was it? Here is a total stranger, and he walks up to them, follow me. And they dropped their nets. We're going to look into that. Verse 19, when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. Once again, he went to the Sea of Galilee. How many recall when you were there? We were just there in April. It's a real geographical lake, isn't it? I remember six boats were tied together. We were worshiping the King on that same sea, which is a freshwater body of, it's a lake. It's not a sea like a salted sea. Verse 20, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. They followed him. And look at verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum. Oh, Capernaum. Well, we were in Capernaum, weren't we? How many recall that it was a stormy morning? As soon as we got there, man, I'm telling you, the wind was whipping. Man, and when you looked out into the lake, it looked like an ocean that was going through turmoil. It was incredible. So now you kind of, we got a glimpse why, when the storms would come to that region, some of the fishermen, the apostles, they were terrified, thinking that they were going to lose their life, they were going to drown. Remember when they woke up Jesus that was asleep? He says, we're going to perish, we're going to perish. And what did Jesus tell them? All ye that have little faith. And Jesus just spoke the word, and it was calm. And it was almost like we saw that happen there. Oh my gosh, it was as calm as day, an hour later. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. That was the difference. The anointing of God was on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read earlier that he was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him, and then he had to venture out where? To the wilderness, right? And so now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ filled with the Spirit of God. He was the God-man, 100% God, well, he was 100% man. And so, let's go now to back to verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so, as we are reading the book of Mark, you notice that he cut through a lot of the chase. In other words, he cut through the lineage. He cut through all the people that are mentioned in the book of Luke, in the book of Matthew, the genealogy, all the patriarchs, all the line that came from Abraham, all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ. He cut through all that. Why? Because he wanted to get to the point. He was so excited to write about what he saw about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Mark mentions the arrest of John the Baptist as merely a signal for the ministry of Jesus into Galilee, his home region. Luke explained that John was arrested because he publicly rebuked King Herod for what? For taking his brother's wife. John's public protest greatly angered Herod to be put into John's prison, presumably to silence him, just to silence him. And so where do we see the same connotation? Where do we see the same contents taking place? It's right here in the book of Matthew. Look at this. And at that time, the tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. This is who they thought in their mind, in their theological mind, that that's who Jesus, that John the Baptist was, or Jesus was. But he wasn't. We all know that Jesus was the Son of God. As I mentioned, 100% man, 100% God. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, for his brother's Philip's wife. Now, that was an ungodly thing that took place. As we pick it up in verse 4, look at this. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. John the Baptist was in prison. Why? Because he rebuked the religious organization. He rebuked, I like to say, the left. He confronted them. He called out their sin. And he rebuked the king. And listen, that king was so mad. It was like, how dare you? You little one that's out there in the wilderness. And what was his attire? Camel's hair? Huh? Camel's hair, wasn't it? And what did he eat? locusts. And so it's like, who are you? But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, look at this. The daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, give me the Baptist's head on a platter. Listen, I don't know if these folks repented when Jesus died and rose again, but I do know one thing. If they went on unrepentant, right now, they're still in hell, in torment. Why? Because John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one in Scripture who was conceived in his mother's womb that was filled with the Holy Spirit. The only one. And so, he was a precious child. This is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Look what it says here in verse 9. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. Wow. My goodness. Did you know right now they want to behead even our president? No differently. It's the same spirit that's in our land. It's the same abominations across our land. And yet, we see it right here 2,000 years ago. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Wow. So this scene that Mark picks up is just identifying who John the Baptist was and his wonderful and great ministry. He was the forerunner. He went before Jesus, and he was telling a generation back then, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And 2,000 years later, God is saying to this nation, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Can I get an amen in the house? No differently. God is still calling what? Repentance. Because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And right now, this nation has sinned before God. 60 million babies aborted. Same-sex marriage in what? In all 50 states. The abominations are atrocious. My brother, who is he's an investigator for the DA's office in Chula Vista, and he came and sat down with me. He told me face-to-face across my desk. He goes, Fee, he goes, the number one sin and grievous and other than abortion and other than same-sex marriage is sex trafficking. And he asked me to put a flyer together to try to entrap someone that was in Idlewood, and they nabbed the guy. All I did was make him a little flyer, and they were trying to lure this guy. But they found out he was in a ring of sex traffickers. Listen, there's all kinds of abominations in our country right now. And guess what? A lot of churches won't talk about it. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't care who's left or right. The Bible says, get right with God or get left behind. Can I get an amen? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So let's go back to verse 15 in Mark chapter 1. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to seek and save which was lost. And how many of you can honestly say, before he came into your life, we were all lost without a cause? I know I was 30 years ago. Yes, all my family's in law enforcement, and here I am selling dope. And I remember my uncle, he was the first DA investigator, Eddie Cervantes, came and visited me. He says, you know what? We're looking at you. And he goes, you better stop what you're doing. And man, my mind was so gone. Like Brother G would say, I was toe up from the flow up. But God had to radically save me. Amen. When you have $500 of crystal meth, and then God delivers you in 1 second. Hallelujah. I didn't praise God, I didn't have to go to the 12-step program. I only took 1 step toward Jesus. Can I get an amen? And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And he set me free. Why? Because the key is to repent. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to the only holy one that can save you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Old Testament prophets often spoke of the future kingdom ruled by the descendant of King David that would be established on earth and exist for eternity. Thus, when Jesus spoke of the time and the presence of the kingdom of God, the Jews understood him to mean that the Messiah had to come to fulfill and inaugurate him, the long-awaited kingdom. But they thought that he was going to come and overturn and overtake the Roman Empire. Jesus came a whole different way. He came as the Lamb of God. He came as a humble servant. He was born in a manger in a cave with all farm animals. That's how he chose to come. He didn't come in Rancho San Diego or Rancho Santa Fe. Listen, as a realtor, I've been there. I've been through those tours. I know what a $40 million home looks like. I know all the amenities. An 80-inch TV in their toilets. Pools coming in and outside from the living room out into their backyard. I've seen all that. But let me just say this. What God has prepared for the saints of God pales comparison, hallelujah, to what God has prepared for you and I. Can I get amen? By faith. And so God, he bypassed all that. He didn't have to come to the wealthy. He came to us lowly folks. He came through the streets. He came through the barrios. He came looking for us. Why? Because he knew that I can use you in mighty ways to turn back a nation. Oh, yes. He didn't come for self-righteous people. He came for common people like you and I that would turn the hearts back to the Father. Jesus. Hallelujah. That we would be a people that would glorify Him and testify what God has done for us. And that's my story. Is wherever I go, oh God, I want you to have the glory and the honor and the praise. Can I get amen? Of what you've done to this life that was headed to hell in a handbasket. I was ready to perish. No one wants to talk about hell. They want to talk about heaven. But there's a real hell to shun. Can I get an amen? And the key is to repent and turn to the one that can save you from that place. This is why when I see him, I'm going to fall on my knees and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who saved me. Because I was a wretch. But he chose to save me. He chose to save you. What? So that your life can glorify him and magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lift up the name of Jesus so that your light will be on top of a hill shining that all men will see your good works and glorify God that's in heaven. And so the theme why Jesus came, we see it right here, even in Matthew. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then in Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach what? His theme. There was only one theme. There was nothing else. No, he didn't preach a message of 7 points of prosperity. No, he didn't. It's repent, repent, repent. And that theme hasn't changed. Can I get amen? Oh, yeah. There's some folks that, oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, you believe. But have you repented? The Bible says the demons believe in Jesus, but they won't repent. Look at this. When the Holy Ghost was poured out on the apostles. So we see John the Baptist repent. We see Jesus repent. And now the apostles, they're saying repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Man, that's a promise from God. How many believe God's promises? Amen. They're yes and amen. Can I get an amen in the house? Yes, look at this in Acts. It goes on, testifying to Jews and Greeks alike about repentance to God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. No one's ever going to see God unless they repent. You can't climb up another way. The Bible says then you're a thief and a robber. You got to come up one way, and that's through a heart of repentance. Amen? Look at Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under what? The law. And look at it in Ephesians here. As a plan for the fullness of time to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. This is what's taking place in the last days that we live in, that God is saving all those he's going to save. We don't know who they are. Our job is to glorify him and testify and share and sow into hearts. But God's the one that saves. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he does. And so when he comes, the Bible says, he's going to come like this. He's going to come with the white horse in the book of Revelation. And it's on his robe is going to say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to bring final judgment to this planet. Can I get amen? Amen. All these kings and all these ungodly rulers that are reigning and ruling right now, he's going to bring an end to it. And the millennium is going to start. And Jesus is going to rule the whole entire world with a rod of iron. And guess what? He's chosen you and I to come alongside him and rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. But we're not going to rule and reign with these bodies. He's got that new body for us. Can I get amen? The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that at the trump of God, the archangel will shout, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. I'm looking for that day. How many are looking for that day? I'm looking for that day. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That day comes, you will be fully delivered from this body of flesh. You will have the new one like him. He's the prototype. He was the first one to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. He can appear and disappear. He can eat and go into glory. Man, I want that body. I can't wait to see mine. I think that one's going to have a little hair on it, I think. It might be 60 pounds a little lighter. I don't know. If it is, praise God. But guess what? It will never be diseased again. No more cancer. No more diabetes. Come on, all Alzheimer's, all these things that plague us here. We're going to have a body like his. All by faith. Hallelujah. It's all by faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, so when he comes, I want to be with him when he comes. Can I get amen? Because the book of Titus says 10,000s of thousands of saints will be with him. That's the rapture of the church. He's going to take us into the bridal, the Lamb's book of life, and at the bride of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. How many can't wait for that day to come?
Amen.
Come on, man, it's going to be a party in heaven. You like the party down here? You haven't seen one yet. If you think you've seen the party down here, you haven't seen nothing yet until we get there. Man, it's gonna be mind-blowing. What did our little brother Jerry, is he Jerry here tonight? No, he's not here. He testified Sunday morning. Jerry, about a month ago, he was in a motorcycle accident. And he was flown off his motorcycle, and he lied there unconscious. And he said, he testified, that he came out of his body, and he saw his body laying there. And then, boom, he went up into that tunnel, and the Lord is there. He said heaven was the most incredible thing he ever saw. My goodness. I'm telling you, heaven's real, saints. Heaven's real. And so no matter what happens down here, for the saint of God, for those who are his, man, he has put a hedge of protection around us. Angels will come encamp around you according to the word of God. Amen? So let's move on to verse 16 in Mark chapter 1. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishermen. Saints, the Sea of Galilee, in reality, is a large lake 650 feet below sea level, 150 feet deep, and surrounded by hills. Fishing was the main industry. How many can't just get it out of your mind that we were there? Here's a little glimpse of it. I forget where we were, but we started on 1 in April. We were there. For those of you who are maybe visiting us tonight, we were there just in April, and we crossed the Sea of Galilee. 6 boats. And every boat was filled, and we were worshiping the King. My goodness, it was a day that I'll never forget. Look at this. All those hotels and restaurants right there. That's Tiberias. It's a real place. When you read Tiberias in the Bible, you're thinking, man, you know, that was like thousands of years ago. No, it's still here. Oh, we stepped off the plane. And the first place we went We went to Jaffa, where Jonah was spit out of the well. Come on, man. We were in real biblical places. This is not a book of fairy tales. Can I get an amen? This is a book of facts. And this is what this nation needs to come back to. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When you kick out the Ten Commandments out of the court system, when you can't preach Jesus, then God has to do something radical. And guess where he's going to start with? You and I. To be bold, to proclaim his goodness. Hallelujah. God is so good.
Amen.
Is he worthy to be praised, saints?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. See, fishing with nets was the most common fishing method. It was a circular net, 10, 15 feet in diameter, was cast into the sea. Then it was drawn up, and the catch was hoisted to the boat. The first pair of men Jesus called to follow him were brothers Simon and Andrew. And this was not the first Simon and Andrew that had met Jesus, but Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. So they already knew of the one that was coming. And we see this in Scripture right ahead. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Man, just imagine. He had the privilege to baptize his primo. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist. And he baptized the Son of God. Wow. "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Look what it says in the next. "Then Jesus turned and seen and following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which is to say translated, 'Teacher, what are you saying? Where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see. Tonight the Lord is speaking to us. Come and see that the Lord is good. He's worthy to be praised. And he has a place all stored up for us. Don't let this world fool you. Because this world is full of fool's gold. But the real gold is up in heaven." Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Or the Bible says where robbers and moss and rust and dust cannot enter in. Everything that you're storing up in heaven is because of your faithfulness toward God here. And God's going to remember every deed, every word said, because it's all recorded in heaven. And so Andrew then brought his brother Simon to Jesus, and these men understood and believed who Jesus was. Right here it says, "And he brought to Jesus." Now when Jesus looked at him, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," or Cephas, which is translated a stone. So who's this character, can I ask? Who did he become? Peter. Peter the apostle. Come on. And so let's move on to verse 17. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" You know, being saved for 30 years, it's only but the grace of God that he has kept me by his power, by his grace. And I truly believe because he has saved me, there was a heart exchange. I gave him my black heart. He gave me a heart of flesh, a heart to love him, to worship, to praise him, to glorify him, to walk after him. And because that there's now a relationship between me and the Lord, he has given me the privilege to share wherever I go the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was no different. I was a type of fisherman, and so were you. Whatever you were seeking in this world, you dropped your nets to come follow him.
Hallelujah.
By faith. By faith. And many of you have your own testimony, beautiful testimony. For my sister back there, Sister Deborah, she has a beautiful testimony. She didn't see the life that we ever lived. I grew up in National City, grew up in the streets. You guys know my testimony, growing up, you know, with the gangbangers and all that. But she got saved at 8 years old. She never saw our street life. She never saw the things that would tempt a good, moral young man or young woman and entice them to be disobedient to parents, to be disobedient to the law, to their teachers in school. No, she got saved at a tender age, and that's a beautiful testimony in itself. So no matter where God found us, the bottom line is he found you and he has saved you. He has given you grace to follow after him. Can I get an amen? You see, Jesus was calling them away from their productive trades to be productive spiritually by helping others believe the good news and carry on Jesus' work after he was gone. So what he implemented, what he sown, when he discipled them, that alone carried them through hard times. Did you know many of them were martyred? John the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation, who was one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was boiled in oil. Peter was turned up upside down and was beheaded. All these people for the cause of Christ. Why? Because they loved the Lord all the way till their death. And I believe that God's going to test the church one more time before he comes. Whatever calamity's coming, God is saying, prepare yourself. Amen. Draw close to me. Draw close to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen? This is the time to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and to press toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. There's no better time now than to live for Christ. Even in the day that we live in, where we have every kind of electronic device to tempt us, everything to lure you away, and yet God will strengthen you. God will empower you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us and he loves his church. He came and he died for you and me. And this is why many are going to get saved in these months to come. Because we see the writing on the wall. We see what's taking place. And how many believe that our nation has real enemies? Remember that old song? I forgot who, I think it was the Four Tops. It could be. I think it's called, they're lying in your face. All they want to do is take your place. Them backstabbers, right? Man, I'm telling you, yeah, that's what it was called, backstabbers. I don't believe none of those leaders out there. Why? Because they have an agenda. And let me just say this. It's on record. You can Google it. You know the president of Russia, Putin? He went on 2 months ago and he preached to his own nation after they had gone over nuclear drills and they have underground bunkers and they're caught having their people to go in and test where the bunkers are. But he went on record to say, you can Google this. I'm not lying here. I don't lie up here or God will strike me down. But he went on record saying that the West has forgotten their God. And they are perverting the world. And that has to come to an end. Let me just say this. If we don't get right in this nation, I'm telling you, God's going to have his final say. Look what's taking place. When I was a kid, there wasn't 17 fires going on in California, tornadoes whipping through the Midwest, floods. Look at all these remedial judgments. God's trying to wake up. Say, wake up, wake up. I'm trying to get your attention here. Turn back to me. But this nation has forgotten God. But I'm here to remind the church, hallelujah, that he's alive and well. Can I get an amen? Is he alive and well in your soul? He's alive and well in me. Jesus. This nation doesn't need a politician. It needs a preacher behind the pulpit. What's been removed from this nation is men and women that will stand bold behind the pulpit and call out sin for what it is. Turn back. Turn back to the living God. And God will have his final say. And God will be high and lifted up. But the church is asleep. They're all about programs. They're all about how many ways can you prosper. I've been to churches, they'll shake you up 3 times for offerings. My goodness. If you need that many offerings, close the door. You're in it for the wrong reasons. It should be about souls. Can I get amen? But see, no one wants to hear those kind of messages because it causes them to examine their hearts and say, God, let me be right before you. Get right or get left. Amen? Man, you know, our nation right now is very, the symbol is there, huh? The right and the left. My goodness. So Jesus, he was calling them away from their productive trades to be productive spiritually by helping others believe the good news and carry on Jesus' work after he was gone. Look at this. In Luke, it says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is what I don't get in the day that we live in. No one wants to be discipled no more. No one wants to be in Bible study. No one wants to learn about him. No one wants to draw close. Some people, I'm good for a 40-minute sermon on Sunday, and that's it. That's all you get. Wow, really? He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Look what else it says. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turning them. And he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. You know what that means? There's some folks, well, I got to please them and I got to please that one, and but I can't be with you, Lord. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. Listen, if everything else matters other than him, something's out of order. I praise God. I praise God for the Spirit of God that he has given us. And that power allows us to continue with him, to love him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Look what it says in look at what it says in Matthew. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not even worthy of me. Jesus said this. I'm glad Jesus wrote this down and not me. Then you guys will be throwing tomatoes at me. I'm just opening up the mail and reading you the letters. Can I get an amen? Jesus, we're all going to stand before him, and all these things are going to be brought up right before us, face to face. Look at this. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not even worthy. There's some folks, man, all they care is about their kids. And there's you love them, you nurture them, but if they stand before God, something's out of order. Bring them to the house of God. Can I get an amen? That they would grow up. That's what's wrong with this nation, is the youth needs to have a heart change. When rap and rock and roll and all these things become their idol, I'm sorry, we're going to have a generation filled with spiritual barbarians that don't love God. Look at this. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not even worthy of me. Wow. We're coming in for a close. We got 10 minutes left. Hold on to your seatbelts. We're coming in for a hard landing here. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Saints, after their previous meeting with Jesus, Simon, Peter, and Andrew had returned to fishing. But when Jesus called them to follow his disciples, they left their nets at once. Their lives had changed. Their allegiance was now to their teacher. Mark taught radical discipleship. A person must leave all behind to follow Jesus. How many can honestly say you have left things behind to follow the Lord? Come on. Come on. God's doing something radical, something awesome in our life. Look what it says right up here. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know what he meant by that? The idols in your life. The idols. Back in the day, man, I used to spit shine my car. Man, it was polished up, wheels, everything, man. Man, when a speck of dust came on it, I thought someone threw it on there. I was ready to get mad at somebody. We all had idols, didn't we? Man, but God did a radical thing. Look at this right here. This was a true test right up here. This little tiny story. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." Those were the Ten Commandments. Those are the things that the Jewish people during that time should have already known. This is nothing new under the sun. But look at this. And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." This is the rich man. This was the Bill Gates of the day. This guy had everything. He had bundles of dollars. And he said, I've kept all that from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, "You still lack one thing." He said, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." Wow. What if an angel appeared in your room and says, "You know what, everything, your home, everything, sell it." Man, I think our heart would be no different from this man. Can I get an amen? But when he heard this, he became what? Very sorrowful for what? He was very rich. Those things possessed him. They had a hold of him. He had his own God. It wasn't the God of the Bible. It was mammon on earth. Verse 19. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, and also that were in the boat mending their nets. Not far down from the beach was another pair of brothers, James and Simon Peter's brother. And for time's sake, let's go to verse 20. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Went after him. And as we read just a few minutes ago, the theme was this. After they acknowledged who he was, Jesus went on to say, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son and daughter," we read that. Now, he comes to a place. This is where I want to get to tonight. He came to a place. How many remember Capernaum? We remember Capernaum, huh? You know, I'll never forget Capernaum. By the grace of God, I've been there many times. And our tour guide at the first year took us to Capernaum. And one of the things that just resonated in my heart was he talked about these three cities. One of them was Capernaum. One of them was Chorazin. And I believe the other one were three. Chorazin. The other one's coming right now. But there were three. And when we came to Capernaum, we saw all around Capernaum, there were many villages, cities, thriving with business. Commerce was taking place, residential property. We saw all that. But when we came to Capernaum, what was it? It was an outdoor museum. Capernaum. They call it Capernaum, the town of Jesus. And so when you go through it, you see that it's an outdoor museum. Capernaum, located in the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, was the largest of many fishing towns surrounding the lake. Jesus had recently moved to Capernaum from Nazareth. Capernaum was a place where Jesus conducted most of his miracles in his entire ministry. The dead was raised. The blind were given sight. The dumb and the mute were able to speak. The crippled were able to walk again. But one thing that lacked into that city and the two others is they remained in unbelief. After he conducted all the miracles, those cities became in a state of unbelief. And so he cursed those three towns. Remember when we went to Kodesin and Jonathan Kahn took us and it was getting dark? And it was what, an outdoor museum like this? And then we went to Capernaum? Why? Because these places are still cursed. There's no life there. There's no life. Why? Because the people there would not repent and believe Jesus who did all the miracles in their town. It's still rubble. It's still there. Capernaum was a thriving town with great wealth. And it was filled with sin and decadence. And because it was a headquarters for many Roman troops, heathen influences from all over the Roman Empire were pervasive there. Kind of sounds like some of our ports. Did you know that Simi Valley is the capital of the pornographic industry in all of America, coming right out of California? Houston, Texas was the Planned Parenthood who were actually dissecting the bodies and selling the body parts, and Harvey came. You think God ain't gonna just let things slide? Now, that was the headquarter of Planned Parenthood that was exposed. And what did they do? They incarcerated the guy that exposed it. They flipped it. My goodness. And we're not seeing this country repent. And it's going to deserve one day. It's going to deserve God's wrath. That's all it is an outdoor museum. Jesus cursed that town. Oh, yes. Look at this. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, look at this. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. He started rebuking them all. Look at this. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you. That's the second town. Bethsaida. For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Tyre and Sidon were two other cities that were full of decadence. But the people cried out. Look at this. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. Hades is hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The most wicked place was Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus is saying, these people would have repented. Wow. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, Capernaum, than you, Bethsaida, and you, Chorazin. Wow. And why do you think that heaven has indicted our nation already? Heaven has indicted this country. Did you know that if you took every ounce of blood, 60 million that were aborted, it could fill one of the great lakes, and the blood is crying out from the ground? No one wants to talk about that. We just want to get politically correct here. No, talk about the grievous sins in our nation and turn this heart back to God. Then God will spare this nation. Can I get amen? I love this nation. I love this country. God placed us here. There's reason and purpose in your life. There's destiny. But he can only tolerate so much. We just read these cities that he had to finally curse them. And they were destroyed. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's get right or get left. They were astonished at his teaching. Verse 22. And he taught them as having authority, and Annas the scribes. Saints, that concludes our Bible study tonight. But I truly believe where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And through the darkness, God is pulling treasures out of darkness. You know why? Because he's pulled you out of darkness. Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many believe that he's pulled you out of darkness? Come on. Oh, yes, he has. Yes, he has. And he has washed you in the blood. And he has filled you with his spirit. And he has given you eternity as a promise. And all he's saying, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And so I'm praying right now for those on the internet listening. Maybe you haven't given your heart to Christ. Maybe you're involved in the affairs of this city or this state or this nation. And I believe God's going to use many as a platform to speak and sow into this nation. And if that's you here or abroad or listening, I'm going to ask God that God would empower you, that God would strengthen you, that God would open up doors that no man can shut and shut all the doors that no man can open, and that you would be a spokesperson for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would proclaim the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would see Christ in you. But I'm also praying for someone that maybe never given their heart to you, God. I'm praying for that one that's lost. I'm praying for someone that said, hey, listen to this message. Hey, I stumbled onto this website. Now I'm listening. If God is speaking to you, God is saying, turn. Make an about face. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will give you a brand new heart, a brand new life. He will sanctify you. He will raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He will do great and mighty works in your life. If that is you, cry out with this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that will save you. Prayer is just a tool that God has given mankind here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. And if that's you, we all want to pray with you and encourage you that you too can be set free, that you too can be delivered, that you too can have a new life and a new heart, a new path. And you too can pick up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, cry out right now. Say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Man, Jesus is worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.